You're listening to New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC with your host, Dirk Norris.
New Mexico Filmworks is a program of the New Mexico State Film Office brought to you by the generosity of Hutton Broadcasting. Later in the show, I'll have Rachel Ronsick, but first I have Marilyn Brandis on the phone. Marilyn has written, "The love of art has been ingrained in me since my first childhood memories. I consider myself lucky to have grown up from unique and diverse cultural backgrounds, having been born in Mexico and raised in the U.S. in New Mexico. This has instilled a lifelong dexterity to absorb my surroundings and experiences. This imprint has shaped me into becoming an artistic and unique visual storyteller. My love of art has always been well-rounded, from writing to music and painting to cinema, and has always been open to and inspired by cultures worldwide. My passion lies within my love for filmmaking. I write, direct, shoot, and love every minute of it." Welcome.
Thank you.
So that's pretty passionate.
Thank you. Yes.
Have you always been? You've always had the movie thing in you, the creativity in you?
Yes. Ever since I was about 5 years old, the first movie I remember is The Creature from the Black Lagoon, but it was actually in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
And so that was my first love of movies.
Wow. There's so many people that kind of have similar kind of stories, not necessarily The Creature from the Black Lagoon, but mm-hmm. some film they saw at a young age that really just kind of inspired them and
yes.
said, "Gee, I want to be involved in that kind of thing."
Yes.
You're down in Las Cruces, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And, I was down there a couple weeks ago for the White Sands International Film Festival. Did you have an opportunity to get over there?
I actually didn't have an opportunity this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, there had some really wonderful films. But the kind of the film scene in Las Cruces over the last couple of years has really kind of gotten a jump start, it seems like.
Yes, there's a lot of great new films coming out here.
And are you involved in any of those? Just recently was Odd Way Home, and now Long Shot, the story about Mind That Bird, the racehorse, is down there.
Yes, I've heard of those.
And any involvement with them?
No involvement so far. I actually don't know the people that are working on that,
mm-hmm.
but I have heard of it.
Yeah.
And it seems very interesting.
Right. There seems to be a lot of activity on the Film Las Cruces Facebook page.
Yes.
Do you know why in the last couple of years this is kind of not really an explosion, but there's been a lot more activity down there?
I'm really not sure if it's maybe just filmmaking across the nation that's exploding, because it seems like that's the case as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here in Las Cruces for about 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since I got here, it was big on filmmaking. So I'm not sure exactly why it would increase, but my guess is the technology that's now readily available to people.
Right. Certainly anybody can pick up a camera and put something on YouTube. However, I think some of that stuff is a little different than actually making a production.
Right.
It's cats climbing curtains versus, something that's really produced.
Right. And I think the education system down here is really strong on filmmaking. And that's probably also given a lot of people the education to be able to do that.
Right. There's courses both at Doñana and at NMSU, right?
Right.
And are you a graduate of either of those?
Yes, I'm a graduate of DACC, Doñana.
Right. And how was the program there?
I liked it. I really liked the program over there because it's very hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really get a feel for what it's like to be on set and to learn each position.
So this was part of the crew training program?
Right.
Yeah, which basically teaches below-the-line jobs and makes you pretty much ready just to walk on any set, right?
Right.
And are you then eligible to join the union?
There's a bit of volunteering you have to do first for the union,
mm-hmm.
but I think if I do that volunteering, I would be eligible.
And is that something you intend on doing?
Right now, I don't think so, just because I have so much going on with Camera Hogs.
Right.
And trying to get our stuff going.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps in the future.
So you mentioned Camera Hogs. Tell us about that and where did the name come from?
Camera Hogs is a company we created, and by we I mean Carlos Rubio and I. We created last year in August. And Camera Hogs came from just, I guess, my love to be behind the camera all the time.
Okay.
And every time we were on set, I would just jump on camera, and people were like, oh, she's a camera hog.
Okay.
And that's so great. I liked that name, and I just went with it. I created a logo, mm-hmm. and we founded it with Jason Turner and Ronnie Stepney
mm-hmm.
last year.
Mm-hmm. And so you have equipment that you rent out?
Yes.
And how extensive an inventory do you have?
Right now we have camera rigs, tripods, cameras. We have a crane that's currently under construction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's soon to be finished, and that will be rentable as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 16-foot or 26-foot mm-hmm. crane.
And are there other companies down there that offer similar services? It kind of seems like you're the only ones there.
I'm not sure if other companies offer the same services that we do, but there are other production companies. I don't think they offer the extensive equipment rental that we do.
Right. And why did you want to start renting equipment? It seems like, you know, that's a big task to take on, and you have to worry about maintenance of the equipment and insurance and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Carlos Rubio is our equipment guru. He builds a lot of these equipment rigs that mm-hmm. we have. And we just saw a big interest in filmmaking, a lot of people trying to rent equipment online and not getting satisfactory results. So we decided to start taking that on since there's so many filmmakers popping up out here.
Mm-hmm. Do you kind of stick to the local area? What's the furthest people have come to rent your equipment?
Right now it's just local people,
yeah.
but we do offer it online. We haven't gotten any hits online yet, though.
Mm-hmm. And do you service El Paso?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Is there much happening in El Paso? I'm really not familiar with the movie scene down there.
El Paso has some movie scene. It seems like Las Cruces is more heavily set on it,
mm-hmm.
but El Paso does have a variety of filmmakers or sound engineers.
Mm-hmm. And when people are renting equipment from you, is it like bits and pieces, or do you have whole kits that they get?
They can get whole kits, or they can just get bits and pieces. If someone just wants, for example, a shoulder rig, mm-hmm. they can just rent that. Or if they want a shoulder rig and a camera, they can rent both.
And what has been mostly what people are doing?
Mostly renting separate items, yeah. individual items.
Right. It's one of the nice things about filmmaking in New Mexico is the filmmakers are very kind of community-oriented. It's kind of like a giant family, and people are willing to jump in and share and help out and do all kinds of stuff. But certainly I'm sure there's situations where, you know, you just need to get, you have to rent stuff.
Yes.
And it's nice that you're there to provide that service.
Yes, we're lucky to have Carlos Rubio because he's very talented and he knows his stuff. So he's able to replicate these products that would normally be very expensive to purchase.
Right. And are you, I know you're involved with the movie Desert Wasteland. Is
yes.
that part of Camera Hogs, or is that a completely different production
yes,
company?
It's also part of Camera Hogs.
Mm-hmm.
We also do filmmaking, mm-hmm. and that's one of my passions. Desert Wasteland is a series I'm writing, and the pilot is what we're trying to finish production on.
Right. And is this going to be a webisode?
Yes.
Okay. And that'll be really interesting. I kind of finished a series not long ago of all the webisodes being made in New Mexico. And there's like 7 or 8 of them, from down there to all the way up to Taos. And all of them, except maybe one or two, said that they would film the entire thing and then release it in, you know, in the episodes versus, you know, shooting every episode and then putting it up. Which way are you going to do with Desert Wasteland?
What we're going to do is try to finish the pilot and then get that out there first before we continue the series.
Right.
Just because filmmaking requires so much money and time into a budget, and we can only have so many volunteers for so long before they start getting tired of, you know, not getting paid for the work.
Yeah, you certainly.
Because it's really hard work.
Oh yeah, that's why I do a radio show, because you know filmmaking's too hard.
Yes.
and you certainly can't take advantage of the people that are like volunteering for you.
Right.
You really got to treat those folks really well.
Right.
But you have a pretty good core of people that work with you.
Yes. We did the first part of the pilot all volunteer based, mm-hmm. all out of pocket expenses to feed them. We kept the hours shorter than usual, so we were on set about 6 to 8 hours rather than 12.
Right.
Which made it a little easier, but it was still hard on people.
Yeah.
So we'd like to continue it by being able to have a larger budget to feed people for a full day.
Absolutely.
And actually pay people for their time and hard work.
Right. Marilyn, we got to take a break. We're going to be back in just a minute with Marilyn Brandis. You're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, and I'm your host, Dirk Norris.
De una nueva droga que los gringos han creado.
Back, you're listening to New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, and my guest is Marilyn Brandis down in Las Cruces, who has a company called Camera Hogs, and also you've been working on a movie called Desert Wasteland, which is a pilot for a web series you're going to be doing.
Correct.
You're also running a Indiegogo campaign for that?
Yes, that's correct.
Tell everybody where they can get more information about that and, you know, donate.
You can go to Indiegogo.com/Desert Wasteland,
mm-hmm.
and that's Indiegogo. And there's a large amount of perks that we offer, and you can donate however much you want and find what perk interests you the most. Some of the perks we offer are postcards, posters, a copy on DVD,
mm-hmm.
Bumper stickers, t-shirts, and for the people who donate large amounts, we're offering a director's chair.
Oh, terrific.
As well as an engraved film slate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. Indiegogo is probably lesser known than Kickstarter, so why did you guys decide to use Indiegogo?
Indiegogo allows you to take all of the funds you make, even if you don't reach your goal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at the point where we need all the funds we can get,
yeah,
so we rather just take it all and try to make a budget with what we get.
And where are you in the campaign? Close to the end, or?
No, we actually just started this campaign.
Okay.
So it ends November 1st.
Okay, so there's still time for people to get in there and...
Yes,
and...
there's plenty of time for people to check it out. And we're also doing a campaign in Las Cruces called Trashes for Treasure. And what people can do is just place a box outside of their home with a CH on it with items that they don't want anymore in their house, or aluminum cans and aluminum scrap.
And then you take that and get the money for it and help fund the film?
Yes.
And the CH obviously stands for Camera Hogs.
Yes.
So none of the other film companies are in there.
Right. That's
stuff
our trash.
I wanted to ask how familiar you are with kind of the film industry in New Mexico and what your kind of view of New Mexico filmmaking in general is.
I think New Mexico has great film filmmakers. Everyone that I've worked with is really dedicated and hardworking and willing to do it, you know, for free. Some people would cancel jobs to do it, and, you know, they're losing money, but they're still doing it because they love doing it, and I think that's great. And I love New Mexico filmmaking because we have so many different areas for different looks. In fact, last year I worked on a military shoot in which they were trying to film Africa, but they came down here because there's areas that look similar to Africa.
Oh, right.
And they were able to do that documentary here.
What was your participation in that?
I was a camera assistant and camera operator.
Uh-huh. And I think I've seen a photograph of you in a in an Army helmet. Was that part of that?
That was actually just a photo shoot we randomly did.
Okay.
We saw a tank just sitting out on Highway 70 here in Las Cruces, and we were like, that would be great photos. So we just went out there and did that.
That's fun. Yeah, the filmmakers in New Mexico, they all have, it seems like they all have so much passion for what they do, and I think that takes you a long way toward being able to do your craft, you know?
Yes.
You know, I think of the boom guy and you know, standing in the rain for hours and that sort of thing, and it really is hard work.
It really is.
I think for people who aren't in the industry, you know, they think it's all limousines and champagne and Hollywood kind of stuff.
Right.
What would you do to kind of educate the general public about filmmaking in New Mexico and kind of what it's like?
Well, for one thing, it's a lot of hard work, but it's also a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're meeting all these like-minded individuals that are passionate about this, and the product comes out great from that passion.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a great product if you're not passionate about it. And there's a lot of new things that are coming out that are filmed in New Mexico and getting a lot of recognition, such as Breaking Bad or The Lone Ranger that was shot here in Silver City.
Right.
And that's also bringing a lot of jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. Putting a lot of people to work. And, you know, that's the other part of the film office efforts are bringing some of those movies here. The press release just went out today for announcing Lone Survivor, which is a movie with Mark Wahlberg. And so that's going to be filming around Albuquerque and Santa Fe and Chilili, I believe. And, you know, that things like that employ a lot of people that I think allows New Mexico filmmakers to continue doing their craft when they're not working on another film.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So what, you have a pretty varied background, with film. What is your one passion with it, and what do you get out of it?
I think my passion lies within direction and cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's pretty much like painting a picture with light, and then you're directing the actors to perform how you see it in your mind, and then just watching that come to life, and then in the editing room, having control over how it's going to look really makes it come to life how you see it.
Right, being able to actually create what you kind of have in your mind as far as an image.
Right, right.
As far as your directing goes, have you directed, I guess I want to say, either older or more experienced people, and has that been a difficult thing, or do you find that pretty easy?
I do. I have directed older people, and it just varies on how comfortable they are with the camera. A lot of times at first, they'll be very reserved, and they won't be letting their full potential out.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to bring the camera around often so they start getting used to it. And then by the time we start shooting, they're used to it, they're comfortable, and they're flowing how they should be.
That's a great approach. We have to go in just a minute. Tell us where people can get more information about Camera Hogs.
You can also find us at facebook.com/CameraHogs or /Desert Wasteland.
Okay, terrific. And again, the Indiegogo campaign you're doing for Desert Wasteland?
Yes.
What is that website again?
It's indiegogo.com/Desert Wasteland.
Terrific. And then the one other thing that you have running is the Trashers for Treasure.
Yes.
And that's people can get rid of their junk and you guys come along and pick it up.
Correct.
Terrific. Any last thoughts for you down folks down there in Las Cruces?
I would say everyone here in Las Cruces, just keep doing what you're doing. Never give up. I know it can get frustrating at times, but just keep going for your passion.
Marilyn, I really appreciate those words of encouragement, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right, this is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll be right back with Rachel Ronsick. We're back. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and you can hear this show streaming on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio by going to santafe.com and clicking on the live stream link. You can also hear this and previous shows on podcast by going to santafe.com and clicking on the podcast link. And right now on the phone, I have Rachel Ronsick. Rachel's a member of the Screen Actors Guild and has worked on such features as Let Me In and As Cool As I Am, starring Claire Danes, as well as a number of locally produced films. She co-stars in the local web series Entered the Dojo, which currently has almost 1.5 million views on YouTube. That's been doing great. In addition to film acting, Rachel has produced and executive produced a number of short films, the most recent being Matanza, as part of the local production company Smash Paw Films. Welcome, Rachel. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice to have you on. Not long ago, I had Matt Page on the show, and we were talking about Entered the Dojo, and it's just been fabulously popular. To what would you attribute that popularity?
I think probably, first of all, because Matt has kind of come up in the martial arts community, I think he knows how to poke fun at it.
Uh-huh.
And he loves it, but he's really good at finding out ways to make fun of it.
yeah.
I think the other part of it is the cast has so much fun working together, and Matt gives us the leeway to improvise quite a bit on the show, at least when we're filming, and I think that just kind of translates to a positive energy for the show.
What character do you play?
I play a character also named Rachel.
That's a stretch, huh?
Yeah, I still thank Matt for that.
Yeah, right.
But my character is a character who's kind of a man-hater, and I love playing her because she is horribly, she's self-empowered but has zero self-awareness.
Oh.
And so she just puts herself out there and has no idea how she's coming across. And so she's a lot of fun to play.
Okay. I have a hard time understanding actors and kind of what they get out of the craft they do. And so maybe you can help me along here a little bit and just tell me what you get out of acting, why you do it, what it does for you.
Wow, that's a big question. Sometimes I have a hard time understanding it myself.
Yeah.
But I think for me, I can say that it's a way to explore being somebody that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And for me personally, what I get out of it is I get to, you know, as this character on Enter the Dojo, I get to be really obnoxious and say things to people that you would never say in public,
mm-hmm.
and explore areas that are just not socially appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be a ton of fun. When you get cast to play a bad person or evil person, you know, that's a lot of fun because you don't get to do that in your day-to-day life. And then on the other side of it, it's just, as an audience member, I love being moved. I love having my eyes open to something that I didn't see before,
mm-hmm.
And having that experience. And so being able to provide that to somebody else is just a wonderful feeling.
Have you ever had a character you just could not get into or could not relate to?
Oh, that's a great question. I've had a couple mom roles, and I'm not a mother. Uh-huh. So, you know, I have to, it's just not something that comes naturally to me, say, compared to somebody that has children. But yeah.
You mean you have to pretend?
Yeah, you know, you kind of have to drill down into what does it mean to be a mother. So uh-huh. It means to love somebody unconditionally and care about them regardless. And, you know, so I think then you translate that to, well, how do I do that in my life? What kind of relationship do I have in my life that is like that? And then translate that into your character. So mm-hmm. Just another way to work the character.
Yeah. What character have you most enjoyed playing?
Have I most? Let's see. The character, I'd have to say Rachel from Enter the Dojo. Uh-huh. She's just so much fun. She's completely ridiculous, and I love it.
Have you ever, and again, I don't have any, I'm not an actor, but I play one on TV. Have you ever had the feeling that you could get lost in a character? You like their personality so much that it would be hard to come back to your own?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I haven't had... Oh, no, that's not true. I played in Barefoot in the Park uh-huh. in the stage production of that. I played Corey Bratter, which was Jane Fonda in the movie, if you recall,
right.
With Robert Redford. And she was such a delight to play. I mean, she's just game for anything, and everything can be turned into a party, and she goes with the wind. And every time I stepped on stage to play her, I just had a blast, even in the second half where... myself and the character that play my husband were fighting for the second half, but even that, it's just the way she fought was adorable. So I loved playing her.
Has there been a character that you say, gee, I'd like to be more like them and kind of incorporate personality traits into your own life?
Oh, I think definitely. Probably every character I've picked up something, except for some of the nastier characters. For instance, our 48-hour film that we made this summer with Matt Page and Jimmy Green, I played a pushy housewife. And that, I wouldn't want to be that. But
oh, yeah.
I think that, you know, I do. I walk away. I'm changed a little bit by every part that I play. Mm-hmm. There's something, you know, I've played very quiet parts and very caring parts, and you walk away with an immediate feeling of like, wow, that was wonderful to be allowed to care that much openly about another person. That maybe you don't even know that well, and to kind of translate that into your day-to-day life. Like, how do you approach people like that all the time?
Right, right.
Wow,
that's really wonderful. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the 48-hour projects you've done. You've been involved in, like, the last 3 years, I think
mm-hmm,
you said?
Yeah. Well, I've done it for 4 years, but mm-hmm. A few years ago I decided I wanted to, I was an actor first, and, as an actor on the 48, you wait to be invited to be on a filmmaker's team. And so, similar to the audition process, you wait to get picked. And I kind of had enough of that. Even though I had been picked previously, I just decided, well, I've been in this community long enough. I've got to know a lot of great people. So I'm just going to have my own team and executive produce my own 48. And so I did that for the first time in 2010. And our film, The Rapture, ended up winning Best Special Effects, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, in 2010 that was Game Over, which we also won Special Effects. But in 2011 we did The Rapture, and we won Best Special Effects, and our lead actor, Mike Ostrowski, won Best Actor. So
terrific.
That was pretty cool. And then this year I kind of gave up the hardcore producing and in lieu of acting, and that I was able to work with Matt Page and Jimmy Green, and who won Best Sound and Best Editing.
Right, right. And, there were some wonderful entries this year.
There really were.
And not only the volume, I think they had 52 or 53 entries, but just the quality of the films that are coming out for the 48-hour project.
It's wonderful. I mean, every year the competition goes up a notch. But at the same time, what I love about the 48 is there's still places for films that might not have the highest production value or maybe didn't get in on time, but mm-hmm. they're amazing little gems.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Those are the, yeah, the gems, the nice little things to kind of discover and that just kind of thrill you. So some of the other projects you've been working on, Pigeon Camera?
Yes. That is a script that is a very important script to me. It was written by a gentleman, Stanley Ray, who's a local filmmaker, and he first sent me that script over a year ago, and it's about sexual abuse in a family, and I felt like it was such an important story to tell that I kind of hounded him about it for a while, and I really had my eyes set on the role of the mother, and so finally I just said, okay, what is it going to take to make this a reality and make this movie, and so I came on as an executive producer. Mm-hmm. To get that made. And so we've completed filming with that, and it should be ready for the festival circuit starting in October. So I'm hoping to get into the Santa Fe Film Festival,
as well as
others, Taos and Durango, and it's a short film.
Uh-huh. And I'll just take that opportunity to plug the New Mexico Filmmaker Showcase. The deadline is September 14th, so I guess you're not going to make that.
We're trying, but October was our original deadline, but we would love to make it into that New Mexico Filmmaker Showcase.
Yeah, that would be terrific. Just the whole concept of the showcase, I think, is really great, taking the winning films of each category and showing them around the state, so it gets more exposure for the filmmakers and to the audience around the state.
Definitely.
We're going to take a break here in just a minute and I'll be back. Let me just mention that folks can go to our own website, nmfilm.com, and click on the filmmakers link and go up to the New Mexico Filmmakers Showcase link and find out more information about the showcase. I've been talking with Rachel Ronsick down in Albuquerque, and we'll be back in another segment in just a minute. This is Talk 1260 KTRC Radio.
This is a public service announcement test from TakeMeFishing.org to determine if you need a fishing license and boat registration before heading out on the water. Let us begin. Are you a bear? Do you have a beak? Do you have plumage? Please tell me you answered no, which means you need to get a fishing license and have your boat registered, because it helps local conservation efforts protect the very natural resources you enjoy boating and fishing in for generations to come. Do your part at TakeMeFishing.org.
We're back with Rachel Ronsick. This is Talk 1260 KTRC Radio and New Mexico Film Works. I'm your host, Dirk Norris. And Rachel, we were talking about another project that's coming up, Those That Played Their Clowns.
Yes. This is a short film by a new production company called Reflection Films. And I was cast in this film that's going to be shooting in New Mexico in November. And it's basically about somebody who doesn't believe in themselves to go after their dreams and kind of self-sabotages. And it's they're actually in the midst of an Indiegogo campaign to raise money for their film. They have a goal of $15,000, and they've raised almost $5,000. And I think it's a group of filmmakers. Most of them are from the CNM film program.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'd be great if folks want to support them. You can go to Indiegogo.com/yourclowns, Y-O-U-R, clowns, and every dollar counts. Having just done an Indiegogo campaign for my own film,
right,
I can speak that it really matters, every dollar.
yeah. I asked our earlier guest down in Las Cruces, Marilyn Brandis, and they're running an Indiegogo. And why Indiegogo versus Kickstarter?
I think because the attraction with Indiegogo is that with Kickstarter, you set your goal, and if you don't reach your goal, you don't get any of the money.
Right.
With Indiegogo, you still get your money if you don't reach your goal. It's just that the Indiegogo folks take a larger percentage. So they take 9% if you don't reach your goal, but if you do reach your goal, they only take 4%.
Right. And again, the advantage being you get whatever you raise.
Exactly, yeah.
And so these CNM students, are they current students or are they graduates?
They're graduates, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there are more and more graduates every year that I think are adding to the film population here in New Mexico. Do you think there's going to be enough work for them all?
Oh, gosh, that's a wonderful question. Right now, it's slim pickings. Mm. And ever since, you know, the upheaval that we had with the film rebate program, I think I, as an actor, have seen a tremendous decrease in the number of auditions that that come from, you know, SAG productions. So it's definitely a concern. Right now, there's really nothing filming. Longmire will be back, and I think Lone Ranger's just on break. But and then Breaking Bad will be back, but there's actually not much going on right now, and it's a scary time. But maybe out of that, what you get are people like myself and the folks at Reflection and other filmmakers that make their own work then. And so I feel like there's this kind of, we're reaching this fever pitch of independent filmmaking in New Mexico, and that's very exciting. So, you know, maybe that's the silver lining to it, is that it forces us to make our own work.
Yeah. Well, I will say just yesterday or just today, actually, we sent out a press release announcing Lone Survivor with Mark Wahlberg.
Right.
That'll be starting up. And then Two Guns was announced last week.
Yeah.
And there's also down in Las Cruces, they have Long Shot, which is about Mind That Bird, filming down there. So, yeah, there's some stuff going on, but certainly, you know, not as the volume of the past.
No, and especially as an actor, I can say that, you know, the auditions for the Mind That Bird movie were a while ago, and Two Guns had very few parts cast in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but at least the crew will, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for the crew. But as an actor, it's already, we're competing with LA actors, and so.
How do you see the independent film scene playing out in New Mexico? Do you think it's possible to have a film industry by New Mexicans?
I do, actually. Looking at this project from Reflection Films, those that Play Your Clowns, the majority of the money they're raising is because they want to pay people. They don't, you know, a lot of the time we get by in the independent film community of asking folks to donate their time and talent. And, you know, they are committed. They're raising this money to be able to turn around and pay the cast and crew, which is a very admirable goal. And I think where a lot of films are going here. So, but it does rely on the community to support it. So
yeah, it really does. And we were talking earlier too about how the film community in New Mexico is really strong in helping each other out and saying, yeah, I'll volunteer here. You can help me out there, but you can't take advantage of that. And you know, eventually, you gotta people need to pay their bills. You gotta pay,
exactly. You know. Yeah, it is a wonderful community. Everybody really helps out. We all go to each other's fundraisers. Scotty Mulder just had a fundraiser, and we were all there supporting that. And Hannah McPherson and her group that are doing Those Who Wait, which is a feature film that they're going to be filming here.
Right.
You know, we volunteer at their events, and their lead actress, Rebecca Wiggins, was volunteering at our fundraiser for Matanza. So it's a wonderful group of people.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about Matanza. You filmed that up around Cuba, right?
Yes. We filmed that in Cuba.
It turns out that we had mutual friends up there from the Cuba hostel, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What's it all about?
Matanza is the first short film from our production company, Smashpaw Films. It's myself and Gregory Wagrowski, Courtney Bell, and Morris Bicknell, and we're all actors. And we just decided that we wanted to not wait around for work and make our own work. But then the script that we picked, Matanza, which was written by Morse, had no parts for any of us in it because it's primarily college-age students, which none of us can pull that off anymore. But we were so compelled by the story that we had to make it, even though none of us could act and it wasn't kind of exactly our mission for Smash Paw when we started. The story needed to be told, and that story is about it's about casual cruelty on a broad level, mm-hmm. and what effect that can have. But specifically, it's about a teenage boy who is struggling with his sexuality and is kicked out of his religious college program when they find out he's gay, and his preacher father, conservative family, kind of turn their back on him. And so his sister invites him to go on a camping trip with her friends. And there's a person on this camping trip that is basically ends up bullying this kid who's just a sweet, naive kid who's really struggling.
Right.
So there's so many stories in the news right now about these teenagers who are gay and they are bisexual or transgender, and they don't feel they have a place, and oftentimes, you know, their family doesn't understand, and so they end up feeling quite alone, and then they have the bullying on top of that. And so there's just so many stories now about kids who are taking their own life because they can't deal.
Absolutely. Rachel, we got to go. I really appreciate you being on the show, and I'm looking forward to all of these projects you're working on.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You bet. You've been listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, and thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. See you around.